conversation now with Astro Bob, author, educator, and amateur astronomer who's with us this morning for Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Chris. I'm doing well.
Doing
great. A little cold this morning.
Yeah, it was. And I have to say, after looking forward to seeing the Great Conjunction and being blocked by clouds, and I was looking forward to the Perseids earlier this fall and got blocked by clouds, the full moon, the nearly full moon, kept me up all night. So finally got a clear sky for that one.
I hope in a good way.
Well, yes and no, but
it kind of kept me up too, because when I was out last night, actually tonight is the full moon, and appropriately called the full cold moon. Huh? Isn't that a perfect match?
Right.
Especially last night, it looked almost full, and it was way, way high up in the sky. I went to bed a little after midnight, and I always take a look out the door, and there it was, sitting right above the constellation of Orion the Hunter. And just so incredibly bright with the snow. I had to bring the camera out one last time to take another picture. So I know what you mean about staying up with the full moon. So that will happen this evening. I don't think we have a good weather forecast for the area, though.
No. But there's going to be snow. Clouds will be rolling in by mid-afternoon. So.
Yeah, so we won't really catch a moonrise this evening. But, it is the last full moon of the year, and it is a beautiful sight. I hope a lot of people did get to see it last night anyway.
Now, is this the second full moon of December, or did we just miss that?
I think we just missed that. This
okay.
is just one full moon this month. And what's interesting about the full moon and why I thought, gee, I've got to take a picture last night, was I mentioned that the moon was located directly above Orion in the constellation of Taurus the Bull. And what's interesting is that on June 21st, first day of summer, that's the same place the sun is. So the moon takes the sun's place 6 months later, after June 21st, because the moon is always in the opposite part of the sky when it's full from the sun.
Huh.
So 6 months ago, the sun was there. Now the moon is there, and the sun is in the lowest point in the sky. So they kind of, you know, like a teeter-totter, back and forth. Back and forth. That's how it is with the sun and the moon.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's going on, and I know we've had some clouds with this, but we have had a few clear nights, like before Christmas, but we had the Jupiter and Saturn conjunction. And I hope a lot of people did get a chance to see, maybe not the closest, when they were closest on the 21st, but before and then after, they were still so close together. Now, I heard that in Duluth, we had about a half an hour of clearing on the 21st. But it sounds, Chris, like it was cloudy where you were at.
That night I did go out to try to take a look, and we had enough haze. And I think also because it was so close to sunset, you know, it's so close to the horizon after the sun sets, if you didn't get it at the right moment, you wouldn't have been able to see it later.
Yeah, it was low. You just had to find a place with a southwestern open view. But I heard, and this it surprised me because it wasn't supposed to clear, but I heard that a lot of people saw it in Duluth because we had like a half-hour window of clear sky, and people have sent me photographs of it. It seemed to me it was going to be cloudy at the time, and so I got in my car, and I drove, almost 200 miles. I drove south of St. Cloud, and it just broke up long enough to be able to see the conjunction down there.
Mm. Did you get a photo?
Yes, I took some pictures of it, and I had posted them on my blog back then. But the toughest part was, after viewing the conjunction, was getting back inside the car and realizing I had 188 miles of driving ahead of me. So,
well, compared to the journey of Saturn and Jupiter around the sun, that's not too
trivial.
Far to go.
Compared to that, you're right. I love your perspective. That's perfect. We're wrapping up the year. We had a very nice Geminids meteor shower in the month of December here because it was clear that night. And the beginning of the year, the new year, 2021, starts with another meteor shower. And this one is called the Quadrantids. And it's usually meteor showers are named after the constellation from which they appear to shoot out of over the night. And there's no constellations named quadrants, but there used to be. In an area of the sky below the handle of the Big Dipper, not too far from the bright star Arcturus, there was once upon a time a very faint constellation called Quadrans Mirales, kind of like a sextant-type instrument in the sky. And it's now an obsolete constellation. It didn't make it in the big 88, you know, never made it into the 88 constellations we know today. But its name is still stamped on a meteor shower that is called the Quadrantids. And this shower, which sometimes can have like 100 or 120 per hour, the shower typically has about 25 meteors per hour visible. And that happens on January 3rd, which is Sunday morning. And you would just go out, and a good direction to face would be east at the time, or you could face north or south or any direction really during any meteor shower, because meteors always appear all over the sky during a shower. There is one rub here. One little issue with the Quadrantid shower is that the moon will be out for this one.
Mm.
Yeah, we've got a waning gibbous moon, so that's going to throw a lot of light into the sky, and that'll smudge out the fainter meteors. You won't be able to see those, but the brighter ones will be visible. The best time to view it, and this is maybe another issue, is just before dawn on Sunday morning, January 3rd. So if you were to go out between 4 and 6 a.m., that's the peak. You think you can do it?
Well, I'm up this early already, so may as well just continue that trend. I'll give it a shot.
Back it up a little bit more and then go out.
Now, is the moon, it's not going to be completely out all night, of course, because it's waning. Is it going to possibly be below the horizon for part of that event?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, unfortunately, because it's waning, it means it's after full moon, which means it doesn't set until after the sun rises.
There you go.
Yeah, see, the full moon sets when the sun rises, but once it wanes, it keeps setting later and later and later until it sets at mid-morning. So yes, the moon, unfortunately, will be out.
Now, if we were to put like a blinder, you know, like a horse, if we put some sort of way of blocking the moon directly from our eyesight, it still does kind of get into the atmosphere enough to sort of glow, but it would help perhaps to get that light immediately away from our pupils.
Yeah, the moon being so far away just illuminates an entire half of the Earth and its atmosphere, right? So you can't escape that glow. However, you do make a really good point in that you can face away from the moon, and that helps a lot, you know, or just kind of be in a place where you're hiding it behind some building. That'll help too. So, yes, you can do those sorts of things to help you out. And it won't be really, really high up. If you're going out near dawn, the waning gibbous moon will be low in the western sky. But, yes, it will still light up the sky.
All right.
So, yeah, look in the opposite direction of the moon. That helps. And, of course, try to find a place where yard lights are shining in your eyes, too. So, there's so many things. You have your natural light pollution, and then you've got the human-made light pollution, but
right.
I think I'm going to go out for this one, Chris, just for a little while. I'll give it an hour because it's been such a great year for a couple of meteor showers anyway. We had good Leonids in November, and we had that excellent Geminid meteor shower earlier this month.
Right. Great. Sounds good. Yeah, I think it might be worth getting up on Sunday morning for that, for sure.
Yeah. So those are some of the things that are happening. And when you're out, the next time it is clear, the moon will still be near full, because it will be clear, I think, tomorrow evening. So by tomorrow evening, the moon will still be really bright. And one of the things that's fascinating about moonlight and snow is how brilliant it is when you're outside at night under a full moon or a nearly full moon. And the color of the light, too. To my eye, I don't know what your experience is, but moonlight in winter appears slightly blue to me. When I walk out from the house, I'll go, it's a little bit blue here. Now, maybe that's just because the lamps in the house are warm-toned.
Could be, but you know how water appears blue because of its reflection of the sunlight. Does the moonlight on the snow, because the snow is water, this is a stretch, but the snow is made up of water, is it filtering out other light colors as well, perhaps?
Well, it's kind of like the clouds in the sense that it reflects all the different colors of light. But I don't believe the snow contributes to the blue, but it might possibly. One thing that could contribute, though, is that if you've ever seen time exposures taken of the moon at night, you'll see that the sky is blue in those photographs. And just the same way that the sun will light up the sky and make it blue, the moon does the same thing. So I'm curious if possibly the full moon is bright enough. And it does, to our eye, the sky won't look blue, but it really is with the moon out.
Hmm.
If some of that blueness comes from the blue sky.
That makes sense. Sure.
Yeah.
That tracks in my head. I guess it's reflecting sunlight, so even though it would be a longer exposure, as you say, the sky would eventually look blue if you took a photograph for a long
period.
It really
does. And anybody can try this if they want with a camera. If you just put it on a tripod and do a time exposure, with or without them, the moon doesn't have to be in the photo, but just a nighttime time exposure when the moon is bright, you will absolutely get a blue sky.
Does that change in a half moon or a quarter?
It takes a longer exposure to do the same.
Okay.
I have not seen it with a crescent. I guess I just haven't had the need to expose long enough, for the crescent.
Yeah.
And it's dim, so it takes a longer exposure. But possibly. It would be a fun experiment.
But the blue effect would still be there.
The blue effect should still be there, although very, very small with a crescent moon, but super, super obvious with a full moon.
All right. Well, I guess Sunday morning I'm going to be on the eastern side of some building looking up at the sky at about 4 a.m. So.
Oh, well, good. I like your spirit. That's good. I'll be doing the same.
I really
Provided,
see it.
Of course, it's clear, and I haven't looked at a long-range forecast yet.
I get a little wary about looking too far out. We were supposed to have a lot of snow a couple of Saturdays ago, and that didn't pan out. But 10 days earlier, it was saying differently. But if I do dare to look, unfortunately, Saturday, at this point, mostly sunny. Saturday night and Sunday, mostly cloudy. But, again, that's 5 days out. I don't give it full credence just yet.
I'm with you on that, absolutely.
All right. Well, great. Well, Bob, thanks so much. This is wonderful. We've all got something to look forward to in January, so that'll be fun.
Very, very enjoyable talking about it. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Absolutely. Take care. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
AstroBob's Backyard Astronomy here on Northland Morning. AstroBob, Bob King, an author, educator, and amateur astronomer.